That was the wind. So I keep thinking kids slam that door. They don't. That door's open. Pow! Slam shit. Yep. Yep, you're exactly right. Amen. I think they're still salty with Glenn over there, sounds like.
Lisa.
Throwing out names. Throwing jabs, Brother Jason. I'm glad I'm up here. Wow. Man, oh man. The altar is right here. Hey, amen. That's right. That's right. Amen. Well, it is good to have another opportunity to open the Word of God with you. If you've got a copy with you, and I hope you do, we'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to begin by reading verse 21, and then we'll focus on verse 15 and 21, and probably a few there in between. But tonight, I want to think about our most important role. Our most important role, and I'll explain that a little more after we read our text. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 21, the Bible says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to open your word. I pray now, Lord, that you would give me the grace to rightly divide it. I pray you'd open all of our ears to hear what you have to say to us. God, remind us tonight of the most important role we have in any aspect of our life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see in that verse again, it says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet or prepared for the master's use, meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work." So our most important role is being a fit vessel to be used by God. And that applies to every aspect of our life, I believe. I believe if I'm to be used by God in the role as a father, I need to be sure by the grace of God to be a fit vessel that God wants to use. And if you, with your family or in your job or whatever it may be, me being the pastor, if I want to be used by God, if we want to be used by God, we need to strive to be fit vessels, prepared vessels, ready vessels so God can use us. We're going to see God won't use a dirty vessel. God won't use an unprepared vessel. But God wants to use a vessel that's ready. And so our most important role is to be a ready, a prepared, a clean vessel so that we can be used by God to fulfill our role in whatever aspect of our lives that may be. So we see that there in verse 21. I'll read it one more time. "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor." And that's what we want to be. We want to be vessels unto honor as children of God. Not our honor, but His honor. We don't want to be clean and be prepared to be used by God so that men can look at us and say, "Man, that's a clean vessel." No, but a vessel unto honor, a vessel that brings our Lord honor. What when you think of a house and you're having over someone special, and do you go to your cabinet where you get out your paper plates and paper towels and your red Solo cups, or do you go, if you have it, go to the special place and you open the glass door and you get out your porcelain and you get out your nicest china, you get out the vessels of honor, the vessels that bring honor to the owner of the house? So that's what we are. We're a part of the kingdom of God, and He wants us to use us as vessels that point people to Him. But we've got to make sure that we're fit vessels so that we can be used by God, so that we can bring honor to Him. That is the goal. And in short, how can we be fit vessels? One word, diligence. Diligence. We see in chapter 2, verse 15, is where we'll camp most of our message tonight. And this may be short, but that'll be good. We can get prayer requests for the first time in 2 months. But we'll go through this as quickly as we can here. So how to be a fit vessel, verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God." The key word in that verse is the word study. And the word study there literally means give diligence. And the word diligence means constant and earnest effort to accomplish what is undertaken. Persistent exertion of body or mind. So in three areas we're going to see in our message tonight, we are to give diligence. To give constant and earnest effort to, persistence and exertion of body or mind in the three areas we see in verse number 15. That is if we want to be a fit vessel. See, if you want to be a fit vessel that God wants to use, it's going to take a lot of work on our part. By the grace of God, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But it's going to take a lot of activity and effort by God's grace on our part to get ready and stay ready. Because how many of you, unless you just use paper plates all the time, do all your plates and cups stay clean all the time? No, they get dirty. And when they get dirty, you got to wash them, right? And see, it takes effort to keep that. That's why a lot of people buy paper plates and they buy plastic cups and they buy plastic silverware so they can get them and chuck them and they ain't got to worry about washing them. But in the Christian life, we've only got one vessel. And we got to keep that one clean if we want to be used. And God wants to use us. God wants to use you as a vessel of honor to bring Him glory. No matter who you are, no matter how old you are, no matter what you do or what you've done, God wants to use you as a vessel of honor. And there's three areas. We've got to give diligence to be a vessel of honor. We've got to work hard. And the first one is, we've got to give diligence to be approved before God. To be approved before God. Verse 15 again. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Approved unto God. We've got to show God we're ready to be used. God is not going to use a vessel that's not ready to be used. Just like a good football coach will not put a player on the field that is not ready to be out there. If I were to ever see any playing time, I had to show my coach that I was ready to be put out there. And that's what we've got to do spiritually. God's not going to throw us into the fire. If we're not ready and if we're not pure, we're going to talk about in a moment, we're not approved. We're not a vessel that he's going to use. So we see here, we've got to give diligence to be approved before God. How do we do that? First, through purification. We've got to make sure our vessels are clean and not just on the outside. We see that reference a lot in Scripture. Jesus talking to the Pharisees, yeah, you clean the outside of the vessel, but not the inside. See, we can all clean up on the outside. We can all look the part, come to church right. Hey, Pastor Tyler, good to see you. And inside we can be as dirty as can be. And nobody knows the difference, but God knows. And if we want to be used by God, we've got to strive by His grace to be clean on the inside and the outside. To be a vessel that's fully clean. There's nothing I hate more. And it's not Carrie's fault, or it's our dishwasher's fault, okay? Go to the cabinet, swing open the door, going to get a big glass of milk that looks clean on the outside, grab it, and I look into it, not because she doesn't clean it, because she does a wonderful job, but because the dishwasher a lot of times does some weird things, and I'm all fired up, and I look down there, and it's nasty. Oh, my goodness. So sometimes Carrie will hear me in there, cup. I'm like, I'm just going to go get a paper cup or a plastic cup. But we got to be clean on the inside and on the outside to be approved. So through purification, the Bible says, Proverbs 28:13, probably my favorite verse in the Bible on repentance, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. We need to remember that. And when I say his sins, that could be sins of commission, us doing wrong, sinning against God, but that can also be sin of omission. I talked about that at the senior center. We talked about Jonah. I had the privilege to speak at the senior center this week. It was wonderful, all except for the lady sitting right in front of me. No, I'm just kidding. It was Miss Linda. But I had a good privilege to be there. I spoke on Jonah, and I used the reference of his call by God to go to Nineveh and preach the message God had given him. And I used that to talk about our call to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I talked about that in a sense as Jonah was miserable and went down, 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 as long as he did not do what God told him to do. And I talked about in there that a child of God that is not doing what God wants them to do is miserable. Miserable. A child, and when I say that, I'm not talking about something big in the sense of what God's telling me to preach. I'm just talking about not being obedient to the Great Commission, passing out gospel tracts, not telling people about Jesus, not inviting people to church. If I can just speak from experience, when I'm not doing what God wants me to do, what he tells me to do in his word, I'm miserable. Jonah was miserable. He just got worse and worse and worse till he ended up in a whale's belly. But to flip the script, there's no other place where you'll be happy than doing what God wants you to do. My little brother, he's grabbing a hold of missions. Grabbing a hold of missions, faith, promise, giving. He'll never watch this, I hope, because he would hate me for talking about him. But he said, bro, and that's how he addresses me. That's why I say that. He said, bro, you know, he's got a new job as well. I won't go into that. But he said, my money situation changed when I started giving to Faith Promise. And he just seeing the fruit of giving to God's work. And in that, he said, when you hear about missionaries, you hear about, you're scared. It seems like there's a fear of missionaries because if you get called to be a missionary, the fear is you're going to get called to the heart of Africa and to be deserted for the rest of your life. That's what we're growing up. That's why I thought missionary. I was scared to death to be a missionary. I don't want to go to the heart of Africa. That's why he was. He said that was there was kind of a stigma with that. But he said, bro, to be honest with you, he said I met a family. I know a family that goes to his church, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. He said I met them, talked to them, got to know them before they went. They were about to go to Africa. And he said, bro, they're the happiest people I've ever met. You know why they're so happy? Because they're doing what God wanted them to do. And the only place that they would be happy doing, the only place they would be happy is in the heart of Africa. You know why? Because that's what God told them to do. And whatever God wants us to do, and we may not all have a call to preach or something big by Christendom standards, but we all have the call to fulfill the Great Commission. And the only way we're going to be happy is by doing what God tells us to do. And see, that's what it says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. We're going to be miserable until we're willing to confess it and forsake it and get rid of it. We've got to agree with God about it. Or we can stew on it and be miserable. That's what David did for over a year. He committed a sin with Bathsheba. We all know about that. But not everybody knows. Between chapter 11, I believe it is, and chapter 12, there's about a year of time passed. I dare to say that David didn't hear much, if any, from God for a year. And David was a man after God's own heart. That was in close communion with God when didn't have any sin, unconfessed sin in his heart. But a year went by. You can imagine how miserable that year was. But it wasn't until David was willing to deal with it that God could get somewhere with him. So he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Whatever it is, maybe we need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, search me and point out in me what does not need to be there. Why? Because I want to be a fit vessel. I want to be a fit vessel so I could be a good dad. I want to be a fit vessel so I could be a good husband. I want to be a fit vessel so I could be a good pastor. I want to be a fit vessel so I could be a good employee, a good son, a good brother. We need to be a fit vessel to fulfill every role in our lives if we want to fulfill it in the way God has ordained. And that begins with purification. And I praise the Lord if we're willing to confess them and forsake them, we have a God that delights in mercy. We don't have a God that delights in vengeance. We have a God that delights in mercy. But we've got to confess it. Got to confess it. And he'll give us, I believe he'll give us the grace to forsake it. So so give diligence to be approved before God through purification and through preparation. And what I mean by that is living a holy life. Like we talked about that a moment ago. Doing what God has told us to do. Preparing ourselves. Showing the Lord we're ready to be used. So many people say, well, I'm just waiting. I just want the Lord to show me what his will is for my life. Hey, he's given you His will right here. He may not have given you His whole will for your whole life, but He's got plenty of things He said to you. And until you're willing to do what He showed you, why should He show you anything else? I mean, he's just wasting His time until you're willing to do what He's already revealed. But when you do that, and as you live, you're growing, growing in the Lord, growing closer to the Lord. Your faith is growing. And then you're showing the Lord, just like a player shows their coach, hey, I'm ready to be used. That's what we need to do with the Lord. Let's show Him. Hey, you want a bigger role in your Christian walk? Do the little things right. Bible says he that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. But it also says he that unfaithful in little will not be faithful in the big things. Just fundamentals. That's what it was in sports. That's why they pushed it. I hated it. But if we did the little things right, it would help us do the big things right. And the same thing in the Christian walk. So we give diligence to be approved before God through purification, through preparation. Number two, give diligence to be assured before God. Assured before God. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I want to be able to stand before the Lord one day and not hang my head because of the effort I put forth. There was a lot of times on the football field, sadly, that at the end of the game, I knew I left a lot out there. And I was not unashamed. I was ashamed of my effort. I don't want to be that way as a Christian. I want to stand before God with my head held high, not in pride, but knowing by God's grace, I gave it my best. And we do that in two ways. First, by having the right attitude. Did you know you can do the right thing the wrong way? And sadly, some of the worst people in the world that do it is Christians. Right? My goodness, we come to church. Yeah, we read our Bibles. Yeah, we don't miss any ministries. But did you have the right attitude? Did you do it in love? Or did you do it in aggravation? Or anger? What Paul say? He said, I can speak in the voice of angels, but without love, it means nothing. Got to have the right attitude. Sadly, I've got people that I know right now. Their attitude absolutely stinks. And it's nobody here. It's people that I'm around in my life. And their attitude is awful. And that affects them and everyone around them. And the work of God that they're a part of, I don't believe the Lord's going to bless it like He wants to until they get their attitude right. Until they get their spirit right. And that's my prayer, that God would do that for them, because the person I'm thinking of has great potential. But with that bad attitude, they're not going to be effective. I mean, I watched my entire sports career. Some of the best players I ever had the privilege of playing sports with had the worst attitudes. They could absolutely play, but when they were in that "woe is me" bad attitude, they might as well sit on the bench. They weren't going to be effective for the team. Attitude matters. And having the right attitude spiritually, we can only have by God's grace. Naturally, our natural response is to have a bad and wrong attitude in every situation. Don't believe me. Be like me and don't read your Bible in the morning one day and then go the day without thinking on the things of the Lord. And it seems like everything you come across, it just makes your mood worse. And it doesn't make you want to draw nearer to the Lord. It seems like it pulls you further away. We've got to, by God's grace, beg Him to help us to have the right attitude. We're going to have a youth rally here in a couple weeks. We're going to have, I hope, all kinds of kids here. And most of them are probably not going to act right. I mean, be honest, that's what it was at Calvary with Awana. There were some of them, I loved them to death, but my flesh wanted to grab them and give them a little sleepy hug. It's just the way it is. And you got to beg God to give you the right attitude, because the devil would love nothing more than you to get in your flesh and be mad at that kid and miss an opportunity to tell him about Jesus. We need God's help to give us the grace to look at a kid that is acting terrible, but to see through that and see a kid that needs the Lord? How would Jesus act toward somebody like that? He would act in love toward them, wouldn't he? We can't do that apart from God. Can't do it. We can't have a right attitude in our own power. I promise you. Well, you may be able to. I can't. I need the Lord. As the world may say today, I've got Fenner blood in me. And we've got, the good thing is we've got a church that not many people know about the Fenners. So that's good, which is pretty cool. So when I say that, nobody really understands it. And my family's not bad. But tempers do run in our family. And I need God's grace to give me the right attitude. And I know tempers don't run in any of your families. None. None at all. I praise God, I'm in a church where there's no anger ever. And thank you, Miss Debbie. And I know, amen. I need it. I need it bad. I need it bad. So, give diligence to be assured before God by having the right attitude and by giving your best attempt. Give it your best. I'm not saying me give Steve's best. I'm saying me give my best and you give yours. God has gifted us in different ways to do different things, but to all work together for one purpose. The whole body can't be the ear, because if it were, that'd be a weird body. Every body part has its different purpose. And every body part, with the right attitude, giving your best effort, that's how the work of God gets done. So if you want to be assured before God, unashamed, beg God to give you the grace to have the right attitude and to give your best attempt. And that means begging God to help us. I mean, having the right attitude will do that. And that makes me think back to high school. I had decent grades, but it wasn't because I tried my hardest. Our best attempt is probably better than we realize. That's why we need to help God, beg God to help us have the right attitude and to give our very best. And then we'll do things that we didn't even realize we could do. And then people will look at us and say, whoa. And you can then it's obvious that God did it, not you. Our best attempt's more than we think it is. We just got to ask God to empower us to do it. So give diligence to be assured before God by having the right attitude and giving the best attempt. And thirdly, so not only give diligence to be approved, give diligence to be assured, but give diligence to accurately handle the Word of God. That's huge. And it takes work. You gotta work hard to understand what's being said. Now, there's some scriptures that you can read them at face value and you understand them. But a lot of them, if you take them at face value, you're going to take a dark turn and you're going to start a cult before you know it. That's how a lot of false religions are started, are they not? I know some churches not too far away that they have the same Bible that I do, but because they don't study it, study the underlying, study what it really means, it's taken out of context, and sadly, that's leading them straight to hell. Got to give diligence to study, diligence to rightly divide. That means cut it straight. Cut a straight line. Know what's being said. Because we can't really apply it accurately until we know it accurately. And we do that through survey and study of the scriptures. I won't dig into those very deeply, but survey, we got to crack it open if we're going to rightly divide it. Right, Brother Glenn? You going to be here Sunday and ask him that question again? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to ask that question. Have you read your Bible? Everybody's like, well, I already messed up. No, just kidding. I'm glad you do that, Brother Glenn. Glad you do that, brother. That's good. Keep us accountable. We need that. Hey, we need that. We laugh about that, but we need that. Yeah. Amen. Amen. No, Brother Glenn don't need no accountability. No, I'm just kidding. Above reproach. No, I'm just kidding. So we do that through survey. Got to crack it open. Got to read it. I hope you're reading it in some way, shape, or form. I recommend a Bible reading plan. I just say that because that's how I need structure when I'm doing it, or I won't do it. That's just the way that my mind works. But not only that, we need to read it, but we need to study it. And praise the Lord, in the world we live in today, there is thousands of free study helps that we can use to help us dig into the Word. Now, there's stuff you can purchase and you can buy, But there's stuff that I purchased and I bought. To be honest with you, most of the time I use the free stuff, and I've got the stuff I've purchased. But the free stuff I've got to where they've got it so well, and I praise the Lord for that. I believe God wants His people to know what His Word is saying, and so we got to give diligence to do that. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes prayer. Once again, asking God to give you the grace. The devil knows how powerful understanding the Word of God can be in your life. So he'll do everything in his power to keep you from doing that. Two things in my life that's hardest to find the time to do, seems like, if we don't make it, is prayer and Bible reading and study. Because the devil knows without those we're nothing. We got to give diligence to accurately handle the Word of God. And if we'll do that, if we'll give diligence to be approved, and give diligence to be assured, give diligence to accurately handle the Word of God, will be that vessel we read in verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, and talks about there's some sins in the scripture there, and we talked about early through purification was the very beginning. If he purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Sanctified, that means set apart. God wants to set you apart for a purpose. He has, and he wants to use you for an even greater purpose if you'll let him. God wants to do more with our lives than we even realize. He wants to do things with our lives where only he can get the glory. But we've got to prepare ourselves. So it says, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Do you want to be a fit vessel? If you do, it's going to take diligence in all three of the areas I mentioned. And that diligence is impossible without us begging God for the grace to do it. But if we'll humble ourselves and say, God, I can't, but you can. Please empower me to do these things. He'll make us a vessel unto honor. We'll fulfill all those areas. We'll be approved, assured, and accurately handle the Word. And we'll be able to be used by God in every aspect of our lives like He wants to. May God help us to strive to be vessels of honor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to preach it. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us. Give us the grace to be obedient to what we've heard tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So now we actually have some time to get some prayer requests. So let me get my pen and paper ready here. And then we will get after it. God, I love technology, Brother Glenn. Work. It's good till it ain't. Okay, do we have any prayer requests tonight?